Colonel Reagan was sitting in a chair, a white cloth around his neck, his face covered with foamy soap and his eyes closed. Behind him stood a barber, a slave, I assume, because of his African skin, with grizzled hair and an apron. On the table beside him stood a bowl of steaming water, a leather strap for blades, and a cup of lather with a brush in it. He turned the colonel's chin with one finger, then delicately shaved away a stripe of soap with a razor.
"By your leave, sir," said the sentry.
"I am busy," the colonel said without opening his eyes.
"This girl knew the password, insisted on seeing you," the sentry continued.
The barber scraped off another stripe of soap and whiskers.
"Take her to Jameson," the colonel said.
"No," I said. The barber froze in mid-shave and the colonel opened his eyes.
"Please, sir, you must help me," I said quickly, "as I once helped you. She sold my sister. Please, sir, I'll do anything. Just find Ruth. She's so small and..."
The door behind us opened. Two more sentries filed in, followed by Madame Lockton, breathing hard, and a tall gentleman I had not seen before. My sentry waved me farther into the room so that the newcomers might all fit. I worked my way toward an open window.
"What is the meaning of this?"
the colonel asked wearily. Madame's voice cracked across the room.
"Are you the man in charge?"
The colonel sighed deeply, waved off the barber, and stood up, his face still half covered with soap.
"Colonel Thomas Reagan at your service, ma'am."
He bowed stiffly from the waist.
"How can I be of service?"
"You have stolen my property," Madame announced.
"We have several clerks assigned to record civilian concerns. My sergeant will show you..."
"I will not speak with subordinates or grubby clerks. That chit of a girl belongs to me, Colonel. She has committed terrible crimes and must be punished. I demand you return her to me."
The barber rinsed the razor in the water bowl. Reagan looked from Madam to me and back again.
"What did she do?"
"She abused me most violently, sir."
The colonel put out his hand and the barber placed a clean towel in it.
"Yet it is the girl with blood on her face," the colonel said, wiping away the soap from his chin and cheeks.
Madam's eyes narrowed.
"Give her to me."
The sentries shifted their boots on the floor. One cleared his throat. The gentleman who accompanied Madam stepped forward.
"The law is quite clear on this matter, sir. None of us want to live in a world where servants rule their masters. Both the Parliament and the Congress give Madam Lockton rule over her slave."
A flock of crows swooped past the window. A three-masted ship, sails unfurled, pushed down the river. Ruth could be on it. Or was she already at sea, in a dark hold with no candles? Who would feed her? Who would hold her when she shook?
"The girl says you've sold her sister,"
Colonel Reagan said.
"Do you mean to purchase Sal for the army?" Madam asked. "I'm sure she'd make a passing fine washwoman. I shall expect full payment in cash."
He handed the towel back to the barber.
"A washwoman is the one thing I don't need right now. If you had any manservants capable of ditch digging, I'd take you up on the offer, but..."
He paused and shook his head. I looked out the window again. One crow had come back. It landed on a carcass near the water's edge, a dead dog or a rat. The crow pecked at the meat of the thing, snatched a pink strip in his beak, and tugged until the piece broke away. He beat his wings once, twice, and flew up in the air, high enough to catch a breeze that rolled him out over the water. Another man had entered the room. The night of my first visit to the fort, he had worn his uniform coat over his nightshirt. Now his coat was properly buttoned and his breeches tucked into his boots.
"Thomas, we cannot interfere," he said. "This girl is not our concern, and you are late. We dare not keep him waiting."
I looked out the window at the carcass. "Please, sir," I said in a quiet voice, "let me stay." Colonel Reagan fastened his collar without looking at me.
"The law binds my hands and my actions. You must return with your mistress," he said, concentrating on his task. "Even during time of war, we must follow the rules of propriety and civilization."
With that, the matter was concluded. Madam turned to thank the man who aided her. The sentry slipped into the hall. Colonel Reagan picked up his hat from the table and set it on his head. As I stepped toward the window,
The barber studied me close. He shook his head from side to side, just as Jenny had back in Rhode Island 100 years ago. Bad advice on both occasions. I bolted for the open window. I almost made it.